Shabbos, what a schuss Baruch Hashem. Chodesh Elul, just a week from now, Meretz Hashem, will be up to Erev Rosh Hashanah. Meretz Hashem, in a week from now, be Zocha. It's such incredible moments of today, because it's such incredible moments of connection. And like anything in life, the meaning and impact of any life experience is fundamentally tied into the amount of preparation you put in. So our Avodah, Meretz Hashem, we're still continuing B'nai Machshava Tova. But our avodah Meretz Hashem is to continue to learn the Rebbe's Torah, to learn the Piyajatna's Torah, and to use it to help us prepare for these magnificent and meaningful days ahead of us. So first of all, tremendous Hashkach to Reb Tzvi. Literally, I just want to tell you, this is like, if you're in Geula on Erev Shabbos, like this is the spread you're going to have. This is it. So, you should just know, but really, like we show up, and we eat and we enjoy, but Rav Tzvi, you know, he hasn't worked for 3 days. You know, he's been busy, right? He's been growing, right? Everything is homegrown, organic, you know, range fed. What is it? Range fed cattle, yeah, grass fed. You know, but I really Rav Tzvi, a tremendous yeshkach, so beautiful, and a yeshkach too. Rav Steve, our Shir Gabai, Shir, who are our sponsors tonight?
Pointing up right now.
Okay.
All right,
Yitzchak
in the stock.
For who?
For Rivka Bastachama.
Who is that? For
Shalema. Ezra Gordon in honor of the Rav. Anonymous just because.
Anonymous just because. All right, great.
That was me.
In memory of the fourth Earth Side, Gertrude Yaakov and Moshe.
Shemesh Avin Aliyah. Shemesh Avin Aliyah. All right. Chavra, so let's begin. So first of all, okay, so I happen to have, I made some copies tonight, because the truth is we're going to do B'nai Machshava Tova, but we're also going to do a little piece from Eish Kodesh. We're going to do a little bit of everything. So there should be more than enough handouts for everyone. So even if you have your say B'nai Machshava Tova, maybe Kedai to take one anyway. Shabbosai, so let's, you're welcome, of course. So Chavra, let's begin. So first of all, always have to begin. Anytime we learn the Rebbe's Torah, we'll say by recognizing how fortunate we are to be Tamidim of the Piyajetzna. Right? To be Tamidim of the Piyajetzna. What a schos. So some, you walk out of here, somebody asks you, tell me who's your Rebbe? Who's your Rebbe? Piyajetzna. The Piyajetzna. That's my Rebbe. That's my Rebbe. Chavra, and again, like every Rebbe, we get to learn his Torah. So also we're continuing tonight. We're continuing tonight on page 49. Page 49. So remember again, we actually began this piece. When did we have Shir last week?
No.
What was last week? Oh, I was in Eretz Yisrael. Right. So last week we done. So four weeks we have an Eretz Yisrael. All right. So it's been a little while. So the last time we had Shir, we actually began this piece, part Hey, section Hey. I'm sorry. So the Rebbe writes as follows. Well, so listen to this, an incredible, incredible piece. He says, "Kol davar tov, madrego midatova shetishma otira be'eza sefer." So the Rebbe writes, you know, sometimes a person is learning, and as they're learning, what do they learn about? They learn about some madrego, some level, or some mida. So I think I mentioned this the last time. You know, my grandmother Zichrona Livracha, especially towards the end of her life, liked to read like biographies of gedolim, great people. And the truth is, she got me into it a little bit. And it's always incredible. What's incredible when you read biographies of gedolim? So what's incredible about those stories? It's not about the Torah that they learned. Right? Because truth is, anyone who applies themselves can learn Torah. It's about the midos, the personality traits. You know, I just want to say something amazing. Downstairs, Rabbi Richter is making a bar mitzvah for his son, for the boys in the class. So the bar mitzvah boy just gave up shetel. That's why I was a little bit late. Gave up shetel about what happens if you write with your left hand, but you do almost everything else with your right hand. So what hand do you put tefillin on? So it happens to be, I have this shayla. I write with my left hand, but I do many other things with my right hand. So I remember, so when I became bar mitzvah, so my father asked our Rav, in Shul. The Rav said, you go ahead and you do it Basar Ksiv, you go after writing. Everything is from by writing. For Rabbit with your left hand, you're left-handed. It's not like not the right hand. So I remember when I was living in Eretz Yisrael, I had a Rebbe of mine who noticed that I write with my left hand, but do a lot of things with my right hand. So he said, you should ask a Shaila. You should ask another Shaila. I said, I asked the Shaila, he said, you should ask a Shaila. All right, fine. So that Shabbos, I was in Shari Chesed, and I davened in the Groshua. So this was 27, 28, a long time ago, 30 years ago. It was a long time ago. So I was davening in the Gros Shul, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach was alive, and his brother-in-law, the Maggid, Rav Shlomo Shwadron, was alive also. So Rav Shlomo Zalman and the Maggid, they both sat on opposite sides. They both sat on the Mizrach Bant, on the eastern wall, on opposite sides of the Aron Kodesh. You can imagine, first of all, just to be able to see that scene, to walk into a shul, Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, the Gadol Hadar, sitting on one side, the Maggid of Yerushalayim sitting on the other side. Incredible. So I dive in there. And after Kabbalah Shabbos, before Maariv, they had like a little learning seder. And I decided, you know what? I was like a young American punk, whatever. So, you know, now I'm just an old American punk. But you know, so I went over to Rav Shlomo Zalman. And asked Rav Shlomo Zalman this Shaila. And Harry, you know what Rav Shlomo Zalman answered me? Rav Shlomo Zalman said, I can't paskin for you. I'm not the Rav of the Shul. Yeah. The Maggid was the Rav. The Maggid was the Rav of the Shul. And he would not paskin in the presence of the Rav of the Shul. However, this is Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach. He was the undisputed Gadol Hadar. And he would not go ahead and paskin a Shaila. The Rav was there. Go ask the Rav. Was he a greater Talmud Chacham than the Maggid? Of course. Of course, he was Gadol Hadar in Halacha. Let's say, so why am I sharing you this story? Because sometimes the great things you learn from great people is not their Torah, but it's their midos, it's their behaviors, it's their interactions. This is why we have a concept of shimush tamidei chachamim, of hanging around righteous people. That's a loose translation, right? Hanging around righteous people. Why? Because sometimes what you pick up just by observing righteous people is so profound, even more profound than the Torah they convey. So the Piagetzner writes, he says that sometimes a person is learning. Right? Kol davar tov, madrega midatova shetishma. I asked the Maggid the Shaila. Yeah, the Maggid paskin that everything. Sorry, thank you. I should end the story. Right? I'm still waiting. So I have my tefillin are ready to go. So the Maggid paskin that it goes basar ksiv. It goes after writing. You know, which is how the Mishnah Berurah also finally again. That's the convention. That's the conventional psak.
I remember David Feinstein's on their welcome. When we have a face with the Shaila, we throw a football at the boy whenever candy used to block it with.
Interesting. Interesting. Fascinating. All right. So interesting about locus and halacha. So
I said,
yeah.
Put a shell yacht on his nose.
Yeah. Right on his forehead. It's really kind of good. So can we listen to this? So the Piagetzner goes on. He says, a person sometimes will go ahead and learn about some madrega, some midatova. Shetishmo tira be'ez a sefer. So maybe you're learning something, right? And you hear about some positive madrigo, some positive level, some positive mida that a particular great person has. So what happens? We read this, we'll say, so what happens? We've all had this, right? You're learning something, you're reading something, you hear something amazing about a person. And what's the first reaction I often have after I hear that or after I read it? What's the first reaction? That's not me. That's not me. He says, Altis Ya'ish Leymar Ein Zelefi, page 50, Ein Zelefi Arki. A person should not chas v'shalom be miyayish, right? The person should not have yeyush. A person should not despair and say, you know what? No, that's not me. I'm not on that level. Rak adarabo, tach modelof. Rather, Rabbo say, what should you do? If you hear about someone doing something great, or you read about someone doing something great, don't, see, Rabbo say, subconsciously, when you say, right, listen to this, when you hear about someone who does something great, and then you say, the reflex reaction is, that's not me. What am I really doing?
I'm making an excuse.
See, what I'm doing is, when I hear about people accomplishing great things, it awakens a little bit of fear inside of me. Because deep down I know that if Reuven could do it, I can do it. But I don't want to be held to that standard. So instead, I just say, oh, that's not me. He's a gadol, right? He's great. He's special. That's not me. Says the Piagetzna, don't do the it's not me thing. Don't do that. He says, rather, if you learn about something great that someone did, some incredible midah that someone has, tachmo they love. Desire to say, you know, the Lashon is interesting. Tachmo they love means covet. Now, normally, when we learn about tachmod, what do we learn? Los achmod, right? Don't covet. Don't. We'll say there are certain things in life you are allowed to be jealous of. You're allowed to be jealous of someone's midos. You're allowed to be jealous of someone's spiritual accomplishments. You're allowed to be jealous of someone's diligence. You're allowed to be jealous of someone's piety, of someone's holiness. Desire it. Covet it. Vitomar. And say to yourself, Halo gam hu haya yelod isha kamoni. After all, say to yourself, you know what? This great person, he's a mortal just like me. He was born to a mother, right? If you prick him, does he not bleed, right? In other words, at the end of the day, he's just a regular guy, so to speak, just like everyone else. What's the difference? Dim haya holich batel kamoni, gam kin lo haya magia elav. So I must listen to this. Says the Piagetzna, what's the only difference between a great person and me? The only difference is he utilizes all of his time and I waste a lot of my time. That's it. It's not about our intellectual acumen. It's not about our intellectual capabilities. It's not about he has a great memory, I don't have a great memory. It's very simple. Great people become great because they choose to maximize their time. Because they recognize that time is a finite, non-renewable resource. And every moment you waste is one moment you cannot get back. So the Piagetzna says, you learn about something great that someone did, avoid the temptation to say, oh, that's not me. That's not me. Covet it. Be jealous of it. Desire it. And when you read about, you learn about that great person, that great accomplishment, say, you know what? That person was born to a mother, just like I was born to a mother. That person was born to a father, just like I was born to a father. They're not. We'll say, you know, I think I mentioned this. The Rosh Hashanah Nathal Hirsch brings down in Parsha Shmos, I think I mentioned this last year, he brings down that right after the Torah introduces us to Moshe Rabbeinu, what does the Torah do? It does a genealogy. I think I mentioned this. It does a genealogy. Right? So Rav Hirsch says, why does it give a genealogy? Remember this? Why does it give a genealogy? Because Rav Hirsch says there are certain religions who take great people and try to turn them into gods. In Judaism, we don't believe in immortal people, and we don't believe in deifying people. We believe that the greatness of people lies in their mortality, lies in their ordinarity, lies in their ability to make something. So the Torah gives us the pedigree of Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Moshe Rabbeinu was born to parents. He was born to parents. Right? He was not conceived by whatever, some miracle. He was born to parents. He came into a home. He was a Yelod Isha. And if a Yelod Isha could make himself into a Moshe Rabbeinu, that means I could do the same thing as well. So I think I mentioned this. I feel like I mentioned all of these things already, but I'll just mention it again. Satnu Rav, Zechazad of the Kaddish Levracha, Zechusa Yagin Aleinu, quotes the Halachan Shulchan Aruch. Halachan Yardea says that if a Jewish mother can't nurse her baby, she has to hire a wet nurse, she should make sure to hire a Jewish wet nurse. It's the idea of hire a Jew. Why? So the Halacha, the Torah, brings a raya from Moshe Rabbeinu. Because remember again, after Yocheved put Moshe afloat, so what happens? He wouldn't nurse from any of the Egyptian women. He would only nurse, it turned out to be his mother, but he would only nurse from a Jewish woman. Why? What was the logic? Because Chazal tell us, Pesh Asad Dabar Mashiach, the mouth that was going to ultimately speak with the divine presence, should only nurse from a Jewish mother. So the Shulchan Aruch says, therefore, Halacha L'maisa, if a mother can't nurse her own child, only get a Jewish wet nurse. Ask the Satmar Rav. I don't understand. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. So why are you bringing a raya in halacha from Moshe Rabbeinu? What's the answer? Because every single child has the ability to be a Moshe Rabbeinu. Every single person has the ability to actualize their greatness. He'll say, what's the difference between Moshe and us? Let's be honest. What's the only difference between Moshe and us? Right? I'm sorry?
He was a prophet.
He wasn't born a prophet, right? It's not like he came out like, hello, I'm a prophet, right? It looks like a post-it. I'm sorry? That's Medrash. You know what the difference? Chevra, I'm just talking about, remember, not Midrashim. Pashup Shat. What's the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and us? You know what the most fundamental difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and us? that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he saw the bush burning, right? Chazal tell us the bush was burning for years. No one else ever stopped to look. Or they saw, well, that's interesting, but you know what? I got to get somewhere else. Moshe Rabbeinu was the first guy to stop and look, to stop and process. Moshe Rabbeinu maximized every moment of life. Moshe Rabbeinu had to give up, he gave up certain things in order to self-actualize. That's it. I mean, it's not it, but you understand, like, that's it. I could be a Moshe Rabbeinu if I chose. All right, maybe not the same level of prophecy, but that's fine. I could be like that. Says the Piagetzna, don't say not me. Desire it. Covet it. Recognize that if I stopped wasting time and I started utilizing the moments of life to their fullest, I too could become someone incredibly great. He goes on, he says, "Falamazet lo agia gamani lo." Why can't I reach the level of this guy, whoever the guy is, right? Why can't I reach the level that I'm reading about, that I'm learning about? Vafilu, we'll say, watch this. Vafilu im tishma pshat al eze pasuk o gimara v'hadavar yafa be'enecha. We'll say, let's say you like you're learning, and you hear a beautiful vart, a beautiful insight on a pasuk, on a gimara, and you really love it. Titzta'er, you should feel a tinge of pain. Right? Why'd you feel a tinge of pain? V'lama lo amarti gamani kamoso. Why didn't I think of that? Why didn't I think of that? Halo gam hu yilot isha kamoni kiniskelel. Right? The Pishas, I don't understand. Chavra, it's going to sound a little bit crazy. I don't understand. Rashi was also immortal. Rashi was also born to regular parents. The Arachayim was also yilot isha, born to regular parents. The Kliyakar, whoever else you want to throw in there. Why is it that they're able to see things and I'm not able to see things? Right? There should be a little bit of pain. Why don't I see the same things? You're supposed to say, we don't usually hold ourselves to this level, right? If somebody, right, you read a beautiful Rashi has a beautiful insight, right? I don't think any of us ever say, oh, I feel so bad. Like, why didn't I think of that first, right before Rashi? Because whether we realize it or not, we often just give ourselves a pass on things. That's Rashi. Rashi, the Helige Rashi, right? Rashi HaKadosh. Rashi's on a different level. I'm a regular guy. Says the Piagetzna, why do you say you're a regular guy? Why do you say you're a regular guy? Rashi was also born a regular guy. Right? I will say, you know, sometimes we have like these images of these great people and like they came out of the womb, you know, like this, you know, like. I guarantee you, Rashi kept his parents up at night the same way that you kept your parents up at night. And right, and Rashi's mother had to change his diapers the same way that your mother had to change her diapers. Right? In other words, Rashi, you know, Paro was the only one who tried to pretend like he didn't have to take care of his bodily needs. Like, Rashi was a baby, Rashi was a young kid, Rashi probably got...
Oh.
Mamish. Oh. Okay. Yeah, we're good. Good. All right. Okay. Okay. Good. Good. So, as I was saying. Okay. So. Oof.
You just insulted Mamish. Rashi. What could happen?
No. You know
I'm
what?
Just kidding.
No. I want to say it. It's just the opposite. You know what?
What?
This is probably how Rashi learned. Just without the cell phones, just candlelight. We're sitting here all too pampered, you know, with all of our with our
he didn't learn by the light of his iPhone.
No, okay, candlelight is the same thing. All right, we probably have a couple of minutes.
He probably had an iPhone 2 or something.
I hope so. I feel bad. I hope the power didn't go.
There we go, Joe.
Excellent. Okay. Good. The Satan always has ways of trying to stare everything. All right, Devosai. So now let's go back there. So the Piagetzna says, he says, Umanavshach, Tovachem Dazu. Now, Devosai, generally, we're taught to understand, of course, that jealousy is a bad thing. This kind of jealousy, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. He says, Kim Tiske, Devosai, now watch this, because what does this kind of jealousy do? He says, Kim Tiske Lavo Eleh, Yismach avicha shev Hashem v'sagel nishmascha v'kevecha. Shabbos say, one of two things happens as a result of this kind of jealousy. Possibility one is that I actually raise myself to the level. I learn about someone who just, say you fill in the blank, whatever particular midah tov, whatever particular good character trait. I learn about this. So possibility one is when I'm jealous of it, what do? I raise myself up to it and I accomplish it. And that's incredible. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has nachas from me. Vim lav, Nebosan, I watch this. What if I don't? In other words, What if I learn about something? And I will say, remember, either I'm learning about someone great, and I say to myself, you know what? I really should have that same midah, that same character trait. I really should have that same level of hasmad, of diligence in my learning. Or I learn a Rashi, I learn a Perish, and I'm upset that I wasn't mechabing to that. So the Rebbe says, possibility one is that you transform yourself into someone else as a result of that longing, of that quote-unquote jealousy. That's fantastic. Possibility number two is you remain the same. Possibility number two is you don't acquire the midah you read about. You don't acquire the character trait you read about. You're not starting to be mechabing to different things in Rashi. Rebbe says, but watch this. He says, Gam kein lo avra hachemda levatala. The jealousy is not for naught. I will say, now what does that mean? The act of being jealous of something great. Now when we say jealous, jealousy always sounds negative. The act of desiring something greater for yourself. And whatever that greater thing is, whether it's I want to have different midos, I want to have different character traits. Steve, everything okay down there? I want to have different character traits, right? I want to be able to learn in a different way. Anytime you have a desire for greatness, even if that desire doesn't actualize into anything different in your life, that desire is not for naught. That desire is not for nothing. He goes on, he says, Va'klala zeteda shekol ra'ayon v'ratzon bein tovu bein ra'im chasu shalom. Piagetzner writes that any thought, any ra'ayon is a thought, right? Ratzon is a desire. Any thought or desire, bein tovim bein ra'im, whether ultimately again it's for something good or something bad, chas v'shalom, sha'ovrim bi'ish, einam chozrim reikanim. Well said, this is a ridiculously profound idea. Anything a person desires in this world, whether he's desiring something good or something bad, that desire does not come up empty. That desire leaves an impact. That desire leaves an impact. And I will say this works both ways. If you desire something negative, even if you don't act on the desire leaves some type of residual impact. If you desire something great for yourself, even if nothing tangible actually occurs, that desire leaves some type of impact on your soul. He says, "Einam chozim reikanim, echad leechad niskabetz, va'achos leachos nikba banefesh, ubinyan mehem nivne." So Rabbi said, this is incredible. See, what happens with desire is that desires build on one another. Right? When you desire something, and then you desire something else, and then you desire something, those desires, they build one on the other. So you keep on desiring something positive, even if nothing tangibly changes in your life. The act of desiring something, by definition, leaves an imprint ultimately again on your soul. But the act of desiring something negative also leaves a negative imprint on your soul. He goes on, Yesh lepamim, she'ole bi'ish midara rachmar al-tzlan ra'a harbe me'erko. I will say, sometimes a person desires something that is so bad. Remember, I will say, we're human beings. And sometimes they just desire something that is just so inappropriate, that is just so wrong. Right? And what happens when that occurs? V'hu mishtar ba'atzmo. Me'ayin ba elai kol kach nemichios. And a person wonders to themselves, where did that come from? Anyone ever have an experience like, don't raise your hand, but I'm saying right? You have a desire for something, and it's so inappropriate. So, you didn't have to switch your seat.
Properly.
Tonight's specials. You guys like a table for two over here, right? So sometimes a person, and we'll say this is the beauty of the Piagetzna because it's so real. Sometimes a person has a desire for something, and the desire itself is so inappropriate. What I want is so inappropriate. And what do I say to myself when that happens? Like, I'm embarrassed. Like, where did that come from? How could it be that I have a desire for something that is so wrong? Objectively wrong, like where I'm holding in life, what I'm doing in life, and how could it be that I'm desiring those things? The Rebbe says, so where does that come from? Listen to this. He says, Rayonos, Uritzonos Dakos Kisaras Niklitubo, Lo Yodam Velo Hergisham Migoda Dakusum, Ubikir Bonus Avo Vinis Gadlu. So both say this is incredible. Big negative desires don't materialize out of nowhere. Rather, instead, you know what happens? A person desires little things, smaller things, inappropriate, but a much lesser degree of inappropriateness. And over time, as I desire inappropriate things, the level of inappropriateness inside of me builds up until I come to a point where I desire something that is just overwhelmingly inappropriate, to the point that I recognize even the ridiculousness of this level of desire. See, I will say, it doesn't start in the world of desire, world of inappropriate desire. It doesn't begin, you know, at the maximum, but instead it begins with smaller things. See, I will say, what's incredible about what the Piagetista is describing over here is, I haven't actually committed an avera, right? I haven't done anything. But every time in life you desire something, that desire, even if it doesn't translate into action, imprints on your soul. It imprints. And so every single time I desire something inappropriate, the level of inappropriateness is slowly building up. And more it builds up, I reach a level where suddenly one day I'm desiring things that are so terribly inappropriate. And I wonder, where did this desire come from? It's so far from me. And the answer is, it's the result of all of the smaller acts of desire building up inside of me. He goes on. He says, it's such an incredible idea. I just want to point out, this is an incredible piece in general also in tshuva. See, I just want to point out over here, the Piagetista is not even talking about actual sin. Right? He's not talking about a person who's done averos. He's talking about desire. And he talks about how inappropriate desire builds upon itself. And it starts with small things, but the more levels of inappropriate desire that I build up inside of myself, ultimately that results in more increased and more enhanced and more inappropriate desire. So the inappropriate, the heightened level of inappropriate desire doesn't come from nowhere. It's the result, ultimately, again, of the smaller acts of desire or the smaller moments of desire that have accrued beforehand. Well, see, I'll tell you why this is incredibly important. Yes?
So, like you told us how somebody on the bad side to go from small levels to bigger level, how does somebody go in reverse? If they're at a higher level, how do they bring that?
Oh, we're going to get to everything. First, let's finish up the concept. So, we'll say, so... Remember, this also has to do, in general, this is a concept of tshuva. Rabbi Soloveitchik writes about this. He says that in the world of sin, there's chet and there's derech chotin. There is the sin, and then there's the pathway to sin. Sin is a result, right? Sin is often the result of a whole series of events that led me up to sin. I will say, by the way, it's a fascinating exercise in general. Think about an avera you've done. Like, I mean like a real avera you've done. Not a real avera you've done, right? Think about it for just a moment, right? Don't think about it too much, and stop smiling, those of you who are smiling, right? So think about an avera that you've done, right? And then do the following exercise, it's fascinating. Trace it back. How did I get to that avera, right? How did that happen? And something amazing occurs, which is if you trace it back, very often the first step to that avera was something relatively innocuous. Not great, but generally innocuous. And then what ends up happening is, after that first relatively innocuous step, suddenly again the behaviors increase. The steps become more intense until finally there's the sin. Rabbi Soloveitchik says, do you know why most of us fail in the process of tshuva? And we do. Most of us are in the process of tshuva. Why? Not because we don't care, but because often we only think of tshuva from the lens of sin. You can't do tshuva if all you're doing is attacking the sin. In order to do tshuva, I have to get to the root. I have to figure out, how did I get here? See, if all I'm doing, let's say a person says, you know what, my avera is that, I don't know, so many good averas to choose from. We'll talk about something strong. I'm sorry?
Gambling.
Right? Or actually, gambling, we're going to talk about gambling in just a moment. Yeah. So we'll say, sorry, so my good gambling, whatever it might be. Shmiras Hainaim, looking at inappropriate things. So we'll say, I'm going to do tshuva. I'm going to stop looking at inappropriate things. That's my tshuva. Okay, that's great. But I will say, we all know that when you look at inappropriate things, it never starts with the act of looking. There's always a whole bunch of events that precede it, right? People engage in averus for all different kinds of reasons. For some people, it's to escape, right? For some people, there's all different kinds of things. So the problem is, if all I'm doing is attacking the sin, right, the chate, but I'm not paying attention to derech chotim, to the whole way I got there, you can't do tshuva.
This week's parsha, it's gosh, it begins as honi levava hayom. There's this whole line,
you didn't do anything. Your
heart turns up, and then you're gonna get cursed. And there's all those terrible things. You didn't do anything.
But it's the first step. It's the first step, right? Right. I didn't even do anything, but my heart is turned in the wrong direction. Beautiful. Chavi, you should just know, by the way, you can see this a lot also. You can see when a person's in recovery for an addiction, right? So let's say a person is in recovery for alcoholism, right? So we know that Lemaisa, you can't say, if a person's going to be in recovery, you can't just be like, okay, I'm going to stop drinking. Okay, I'm not going to drink. That's part of it, yeah, definitely. But I also have to identify what are the social settings in which could be triggers, right? Who are the people that could be triggers? What are the stressors that could be triggers, right? And only once I identify all of that stuff, then I have a chance, right? The alcoholic who says, okay, I'm not drinking anymore. I'm not going to have another drink. His recovery is not going to work because he's only looking, so to speak, at the chait. He's not looking at derech chotim, how to get this. So I will say, this is an incredible thing over here, because the Piagetzna says, we are who we are because we are a composite of our desires. Every single time I desire something inappropriate, even if I don't act on that desire, but the desire itself leaves an imprint. So am I different in this moment? This moment? No. No, I'm still the same great holy guy. But then when I desire the next thing, there's another level of desire. And each little thing, which by itself may be relatively innocuous, builds up, to the point that one day, suddenly I find myself desiring things that are just off the charts. It's just, and then I wonder, where did this come from? How did something like this, how does this thought even enter my mind? I'm a yid, I daven, I wear tefillin, I learn daf yomi, I give tzedakah, I do chesed. How did this thought, how does this desire enter my mind? And the answer is because it's a composite. It's built up upon all of the other things. But let's not only focus on the negative. The Rebbe says, v'chein lehefech. Remember, whatever is true in the negative is equally true in the positive as well, if not more. Watch this, Rabbi Osai. He says, "Kol machshava v'ratzon tov shetala b'kir b'cha, afil no segi alehem." Rabbi Osai, any time that you go ahead and you desire, any time that you desire something good, Rabbi Osai, this is incredible. And this, by the way, this is chassidus. This is chassidus in its essence. This is what our Rebbe is teaching us. So you say, you stop a guy on the street. You know what you say to yourself? You know what? I want to tell you a story. Today, I had the biggest desire to put on tefillin. Yeah. Oh my gosh, it was such a desire. Okay, but I didn't do it. But I just don't tell you, the desire was there. So I felt like a pain. It was so painful, right? But I subdued it. Right? So we'll say, you look at that guy, you say to yourself, okay, what's the matter with you? Right, you had a desire to go ahead and put on tefillin. That's fantastic. That's worthless. Says the Piagetzna. No, it's not. Now, I will say, to be clear, having a desire to do something good doesn't take the place of doing the actual good thing. But a desire to do something good has a value. Because I will say, what does that do? Suddenly now, I'm building up positivity in the world of desire. So now this desire to put on tefillin. Okay, I didn't do it. But Lamaisa, I desired it. That's something. I had a desire to learn Torah. I didn't do it. Okay, worth something. Desire to do chesed. Desire to be better to my wife. Desire to be better to my kids. Again, maybe I didn't come through on a lot of these things. But Lamaisa says the Piyajetzna, don't think for a moment that the desire itself is not something meaningful. He says, afilu im lo sagia alehem. Even if the desire for something good doesn't materialize, he says, yisavu v'yisgadlu v'yisra'u b'cha b'midu machshava kidosha. Let's say it'll build up. Let's say one of perhaps the most incredibly profound pieces in all of Chassidus. So step one, says the Piyajetzna, when you learn about something great that someone else does, or something great some mida that someone, be jealous of it. Don't say not me, that's not me. Be jealous of it, want it, desire it for yourself. Now after you desire it for yourself, one of two things is going to happen. Either you're going to go ahead and actualize it, and that's fantastic. And of course that's the ultimate goal, to actualize it. But what if I don't actualize it? What if I don't actualize it? Piyajetzna teaches us that desire is meaningful. Desire is meaningful. Negative desire, unfortunately, again, builds up and has a negative impact. But I will say positive desire. Wanting to do something great. Wanting to be someone great. Even if at the end of the day, the desire doesn't materialize, it's still meaningful. It's still absolutely meaningful. They'll say, what, just a different, now again, the danger of this, of course, what's the danger of this? The danger of this is a person could say, well, I had the desire. Let's call it a day, right? I'm exhausted from all this desire. And I've been desiring stuff the whole day, right? So obviously, again, you have to be careful. You have to be careful, because a person could easily convince themselves, you know, I'm like a cardiac Jew. You know, as long as in my heart I want to do the right thing, that's enough. That's not enough. Right? The goal, of course, is the actualization of positive desire. But I will say, there are times in life where I may be prevented from doing something for a variety of different reasons. And a lot of times in life when we can't fulfill the desire, so we often feel like a failure. We often feel like at the end of the day, that simply, I just haven't accomplished anything. It's not true, Rabbi. Every single time in life, you desire something more for yourself. Every single time in life, you want something more, it imprints on your neshama. You become a different person. You're building up your holiness level. Because Rabbi, I remember, the same thing that happens in the negative happens in the positive. Rabbi, meaning what? Remember, what happens in the negative? When you unfortunately continuously desire negative things, one day what happens? I find myself like desiring like just stuff that I can't believe I desire. The opposite works as well. Live a life where I'm constantly desiring good. And one day, you know what happens? Suddenly, I have a desire to do something ridiculously amazing. And I may say to myself, wow, I don't even know where that came from. But where that came from is the building up of the desire day after day after day. Now, I will say, this theme, I'm going to conclude with this, but this theme is a major piece on Rosh Hashanah, a major theme on Rosh Hashanah. And I will say, in general, Rosh Hashanah is one of the most enigmatic Yemen Tovim. Enigmatic, strange, it just doesn't, why? Remember again, what does the Torah say about Rosh Hashanah? How does the Torah describe Rosh Hashanah? Yom Teruah. That's it. There's no discussion about judgments, no discussion about tshuva, nothing. Yom Teruah, and the Torah tells us about, which means we blow the shofar. And by the way, we don't even always blow the shofar, right? This year, first day of Shana Zan Shabbos, I can blow the shofar. So what is the day? Like what is it? So listen, I want to share with you something amazing. This is going to conclude. So the Piyajetzna, this is on the last page in the packet that I gave you. The Piyajetzna in Parshas Nitzavim, which was summertime of 1939. So I'm going to tell you this outside. The Piyajetzna says as follows. He says, he's actually quoting on the Pasuk in this week's parasha, where Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hanistaros la'Hashem Elokeinu, that which is hidden, that belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'haniglos lanu ulevaneinu ad olam, and ultimately that which is revealed is for us and for our children for all eternity. La'asos is called the Torah Azos. So I will say, so in general, the question becomes like, what does that mean? Hanistaros Hashem Akiru, that which is hidden belongs to God. So also, what the Pesach Hasna says, it will say one of the first, the first addition we make on Yomim Noraim Davening. So okay, we through the Shmona Esrei, we see Amelech Hakadosh, Zakhar Lechem, the inserts. One of the interesting hallmarks that appears every day of Aseres Mitzvah is Shir Hamalos. Capital Kuflama, chapter 130. Right? We say it every single day after Yishtabach. Right? At the end, right after Psuki de Zimra, right before Baruch Hu. Shir HaMalos, a song of ascents. Mima'amakim kirasich Hashem, from the depths, Hashem, from the depths I call out to you. Hashem Shema Bekoli, Hashem, listen to my voice. Tiyeno Oznecho Kashuvos the Kol Tachanunai. Now, Bosan, literally it means, let your ears be attentive to the sound of my supplication. That's the type, that's the meaning of the pasuk. So ask the Piyajetzna, the pasuk is redundant, right? If you say, Hashem, Shema Bekoli, Hashem, listen to my voice, then why do you have to say, Tiyena Oznecha Kashubos Lekol Tachnunai? Then why do you have to say, you know, bend your ears. Your ears should be attentive to the sound of my supplication. You already said, Hashem Shema B'Kol, Hashem, listen to my voice. It's good kasha. So I say, Piaget says something amazing. He says, sometimes in life, I'm able to call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes I'm able to talk to God. Sometimes I'm able to articulate what it is that I need. Sometimes I'm able to articulate what it is that I'm missing. Sometimes I'm able to articulate what it is that I'm sorry for. And the Rebbe says, sometimes, just my circumstances are so overwhelming that my voice is muted. My physical voice is muted. I just can't talk. I also remember again, the context over here is the Rebbe is giving over this Jerusha, the Piaget, in the Warsaw Ghetto in 1939. This is the beginning of their time in the ghetto. Sometimes I could talk, sometimes I could call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there are other times simply I'm unable to communicate. So what is David HaMelech saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Shira Malos, Mimamakim Krasich Hashem. Hashem, from the depths I call out to you. Hashem, Shema Bekoli. That refers to the times where I could talk to God. I could articulate what it is that I want to say. And then, Tiyena Oznecha Kashuvos. But Hashem, there are other times where I can't speak with my voice. But I need you to be attentive to the message of my heart. I need you to be able to look inside of me and see everything that I'm saying, even though I'm not actually articulating it. Two different levels of dialogue with God. Hashem Shema Bekoli is when I actually talk to God. Tiyena Oznecha Kashubos Lekol Tachnunai is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to bend his ear, so to speak, because I can't talk with my mouth. I just need you to look into my heart. And so you want to say, what does it mean to look into my heart? When I ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to look into my heart, what am I asking him to look for? I'm asking him to look for to see all the things that I yearn for. I'm asking you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know that actionally, I often don't live the life I need to live. I know that actionally, I have not become the person I need to become. I know that. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, here's what I need you to do. I need you to not listen to my voice. I need you to look inside of me. Tiyena Oznecha Kashuvos Lekol Tachanunai. Because if you look inside of me, you'll see all of those layers of positive desire. You'll see how holy I really want to be, how special I really want to be, how close to you I really want to be. Look inside. I will say, look at the incredible connection. So in Parshas Nitzavim, the Piyajetzna is telling us, and this will say, this is why we insert this capital of Tehillim into the Yamim Noraim Davening from Rosh Hashanah. This is one of the first additions we make. Why this capital? Because Rabbi said, do you know what Rosh Hashanah is about? Rosh Hashanah is the ability to go ahead and stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to say, Ribono Shel Olam, I have tried my best to actualize my potential. But even if I haven't actualized that potential, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look inside of me. Because if you look inside of my heart, what you will see is so much yearning, so much pining, so much desire for good things. And I know that in the world, people don't care about, there's a concept in Gemara, Machshava Lav Kimaisa. Right? We've seen this many times throughout Daf Yomi. Machshava Lav Kimaisa, which means what? Or better stated, Dvarim Shebalev Einam Dvarim. Dvarm shabalidinim dvarm. Things in the heart, they're irrelevant. They're relevant, right? If you want something to matter, you got to say it, you got to do it. The Rebbe said, Dvarm shabalidinim dvarm might be true halacha lemaisa. It's not true hashkafa lemaisa. Hashkafa lemaisa, dvarim shabalev, havi dvarim. The things you have in your heart, the desires you have in your heart, the want, the desire to be good, to be better, to be holy, even if it never finds expression in how I live and how I act, that desire is meaningful. And that's on Rosh Hashanah, I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shira Malos Mi Ma'amaki, I'm calling out to you from the depths. What are the depths? The depths are from inside of me. I would love to be able, Hashem Shema Bekoli, I'd love to be able to broadcast to you all of my incredible accomplishments. But you know what? They didn't happen. So therefore, Tziyena Oznecha Kashuvos the Kol Tachanunai. Listen very attentively, not to my voice, but listen intentively to the desires of my heart. And you will look inside of Mechashmach and you will see that I am someone who desires greatness. I am someone who desires holiness. And even if I'm not always able to actualize it and bring it to fruition, know that that desire to do something great and to be someone great resides in my heart. And as the Piagetsna tells us, it will say, you're right. If you live a life of just desire without action, that is an unfulfilled life. But desires by themselves still build up layer after layer after layer. And if we live a life of continuously desiring the right things, then one day, Emir Hashem, we will find the koach to act on that desire. We'll find the koach to translate those desires into action. But until that point in time, we say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, even if I'm actionally deficient, I'm asking you, Tiyena Oznecha Kashuvos Lekol Tachanunai, listen to my desires. Look inside my heart. Don't just judge me for what I do, but judge me for who I want to be. And Nechem, you're going to say.
It's just a comment, really. It's something I've picked up or noticed more so in this sefer than almost any other Muslim sefer that I've ever heard in the context. And it's sort of amplified by what he says tonight, what Yoko spoke about tonight, is that most Muslim sefer you'll see will only speak about what you need to become. They will not address the, use the word, negative feelings, negative desires to have. Only sefer that I've seen that really will address that is the Piagetsna. He's only one who sits there and talks about it. Everyone else tries to not deal with that, just deal with what you should become. The only one who deals with things that you are and try to make them into something you should become.
Yeah, and this goes to, it's so true, and this goes to Chan's point as well, because this is what I'll say is like, okay, so now, you know, there are two ways you come out of this. You know, if I'm a person with positive desires, that's fantastic. But what if I'm that guy who's on that level, who is desiring the most inappropriate things? So like, how do I de-escalate? So how do I de-escalate? So once I think that there are two answers. Answer number one is the best way to offset negative desires is how?
Positive desires.
So one answer is building yourself up in the positive way to offset the negative. The other piece, I think, is what Rabbi Soloveitchik was saying, is asking myself, how did I get to this level? Right? How did I get here? Once I identify how I got here, I could hopefully, again, identify how to kind of back out of it in a sequential order, if that makes sense. But on Nechemiah's point, I will say, this is, you have to understand, to Nechemiah's point, this is why we are so privileged to have a Rebbe like the Piagetsna, I will say. Because, you're right, like Nechemiah said, the Rebbe is not pretending like the negative or desirous side of us doesn't exist. It exists. It is alive and kicking, right? It is doing great, right? It's a party in there, right? It's desiring anything and everything. The Piaget says, let's acknowledge that. Let's acknowledge that. And now that we understand, we'll say how that has an effect on us, hopefully, again, first of all, we'll say we walk away, hopefully we're a bit more vigilant with what we desire and what we allow ourselves to be exposed to. Because a lot of times in life, we kind of feel like, you know, no harm, no foul. You know, if I didn't commit an Aveira, I haven't done anything. And the Piaget says, that's not true. Anytime there's a negative desire, that leaves its impact on you. But on the positive side of us, just to recognize that as we enter into Yom HaDin, even if we are disappointed with our failure to kind of bring to fruition all the actionable things we wanted to do, just know that if we're at least on the level where we are desiring the right things out of life, that that very much matters in the eyes of the Ribono Shel Olam as well. And that's the Tiena Aznecha Kashuvos the Kol Tachana. So we'll stop over here for tonight. Incredible Shkayach, incredibly overwhelming. Again, tomorrow night, not tomorrow night, sorry, tomorrow night Shabbos. Next week, I will say, next Thursday night is Rosh Hashanah. So we have Shir, maybe we'll do Slichos afterwards. Okay, whatever. Well, so next week, Gemara Tzvi will say Shir, I guess we'll be back, although this is nice. Side the air conditioning is a little bit loud, but all right, Gemara Tzvi, again, I will say tremendous Shkayach to Reb Tzvi, to Reb Steve, Shkayach, and Myrith.
Thank you. Everybody can thank you for the